Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We've been talking to Carrie Carlton, and she is the clinical director of Boynton Beach Drug and Alcohol Rehabilitation Center. It's called Beachway Therapy, and it's just fascinating how many of us deal with addiction either in our family or in ourselves. And you were just saying that like 25% of the United States deals with addiction. How young can you be to go into your program?
18 is the youngest.
Okay. And so the family dynamics are really pretty strong at that point. How do you help the family help this youth?
Well, what we offer monthly here is a family program, and that's for the families of the patients that are, you know, currently involved in our program. In addition to that, we call them weekly, or, you know, if there's a crisis, you know, they're informed as well, and we educate from the beginning. So, for example, if somebody was coming to the monthly family program, which meets on the third Friday and Saturday of every month, you know, they would be well prepared for the program. They would be educated on what it was going to look like, you know, what we needed from them, and you know, assess on the level of work that they were willing to do for their loved one. And it's really about educating the family. The program is about educating the family and, you know, having them, you know, set some healthy boundaries, because what happens is that they also become sick. And oftentimes the family is, you know, has been enabling the addict for many, many years. And, you know, in order to keep them alive, and they don't even know that they're actually harming them. So it's really about teaching the family members, you know, how to do the opposite of what they've been doing in order to get a different result.
Can you describe enabling? Like, it's so, you want to show kindness and compassion. Where does it jump over to enabling?
It jumps over when, you know, you're compromising. If you're the parent, or if you're the wife, you know, or the family member, you're compromising. You're overriding your gut. You're compromising your own beliefs in order to, you know, deliver on whatever it is that the person who's addicted is asking from you. And that could be money. That could be a place to stay. That could be paying their bills. That could be constantly dealing with the crisis that the addict has created, and feeling the need to fix it in order to make everything okay. And usually what people realize is that, you know, they're doing that because they don't want to feel the feeling of anxiety. They're doing that in response to their own anxiety. And also, you know, they want to make sure that everything's okay for their child or for their loved one. And it gets really confusing for them and stressful. And so they start to become sick and they don't even know it.
So it's really important for us to care about these people but not care for them.
It's really important for the family member to take care of themselves, and to if the person that they, you know, are trying to help, say it's their son, if they're continuing to give him money, for example, and he's continuing to use and rob them, and, you know, take from them, it's important for the family member to draw a line in the sand and stand up for themselves and take care of themselves and say, hey, I'm not going to tolerate this anymore. I love you enough to tell you that this needs to stop and that it really does need to stop.
Huh. And to create a new dance within the family, there needs to be separate time for growth on both sides?
Say that again.
I say in order to create a healthier dance or a new dance in the family, the family needs to separate for that maybe 3 months, maybe some time to build on their own growth and their own lives.
Yes, and it's very important for the families to be involved in Al-Anon, which is a 12-step recovery group, or there's Nar-Anon, or there's a group called Families Anonymous, and also in therapy, because they need to be treated, you know, for their own issues, you know, in relation to the addiction, because it's almost like they've become addicted to the patient over time. You know, they've become addicted to, you know, dealing with the crisis, fixing the crisis, throwing money at the problem, and they've neglected themselves. So by going into these programs that are free, that are in most areas, they're able to take a look at themselves and do their own work and take their own inventory, if you will, on what it is that needs to change about them so that they don't get, you know, eaten up by addiction.
Okay, it's easy to see, you know, like if you had a parent who had shown you physically how to be an alcoholic or a drug addict, you can see how it would be easy to kind of adapt to that and have those same problems. But you're saying totally healthy people wind up in your program. How does that happen?
People who come from, say, healthy family systems,
yeah,
you know, where there's no alcohol or drugs.
Right.
It has to do with the individual. It has to do with the way that they're wired, with their environment, with the way that they perceive things. Because addiction also has to do with like a distorted perception. So, example, maybe at home, you know, the child's father was very strict, and you know, the family had rigid rules, and maybe the child didn't respond well to those rules and acted out and rebelled and thought that the family was against them or mean, and then as a result, you know, the child kind of goes down a downward type of spiral and perceives the family as, you know, cold or unloving, you know, so it all depends on the person's perception of how they were raised and, you know, what their environment was like in school, who they hung around with. I mean, it goes on and on. So that's what I mean when I say that addiction doesn't discriminate. It really has to do with the way that we think, feel, and believe, and what we see, and how we perceive things.
So what's the common thread you see in all addicts or alcoholics?
I see several common threads. I see I see this inability to manage feelings in a healthy way. I see low frustration tolerance. I see low self-esteem, not, you know, feelings of inadequacy, the belief that I'm not good enough. Especially once they've entered into addiction, and then once they come in here, the common theme and the thread that's woven throughout is guilt, shame, and remorse. Guilt, shame, and remorse. Everyone has it.
Okay. And are you seeing something different with the millennials? I mean, they're all playing on the computers. Their brains are wired for instant gratification just from all the things they do on the computers every day. Is there a difference to their addiction than what you saw in generations previous?
That's a good question. I think it definitely plays a part. I think it's what I've seen in them. It's harder for them to concentrate. It's harder for them to be present in the moment. That's definitely. I mean, I'm waiting for some research on how that impacts addiction, but I see a lot of social anxiety with the millennials and with the era of smartphones, and I see, you know, a lot of impatience, a difficulty hearing no, kind of tantruming, if you will, happens, you know, especially with the 18-year-olds, the 19-year-olds, and I would say, you know, the 20-year-olds, we see it a lot.
Mm-hmm. So if we have a loved one in our home or in our family situation that could use your help and use the 3 months to make huge changes in their lives, how can we get a hold of you? How do we set it up so that we could actually stay at the recovery, the beach recovery?
Beachway, you would call our phone number, our admissions phone number, and I can. Do you want me to?
Sure,
say
please.
It?
Yes, tell.
Sure, and it's I don't have the 800 number offhand, but it's area code 561-865-5896. And you can call that number, and then that person, whoever's calling in, would speak to our admissions person, and they would go over the program. And there is a website. If you go to www.beachway.com, I believe, or if you just Google Beachway, will come up. It's Beachway Therapy Center in Boynton. And so if they call or they can go online, and I think that they would be able to chat in if they were too afraid to call.
Mm-hmm.
And someone would be able to help them and answer any questions that they may have.
Carrie, do you have a big wait list?
No, not too. It's not very long. I mean, we have about, I would say, 60 total patients, and that's all different levels of care. So we're not very big. It's all separated by levels of care. So it's pretty intimate here, and we like to keep it that way.
Well, Carrie, this is Carrie Carlton, Clinical Director at Beachway. We just really like to thank you for all the work that you do with people in helping heal addictions and overcoming addictions. And we'd also just like to thank you for coming on the show today and sharing all this information.
Thank you so much for having me. And I just hope that everybody, if anyone's struggling, that they maybe go online, and there's so much material out there, and there's so many good places out there where they can get some help, families and addicted persons as well. So
thank you so much.
I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you so much. We'd also like to thank our producer, Alan Wishart, and we'd like to thank all the community stations across Canada that carry our program. Have a healthy and happy day.